The urgency of global warming has created a dilemma: how to reduce carbon emissions while electrifying the world economy. Wind and solar will play a big role, but in many places they won't be enough. It's where the nuclear option comes in. Updated reactor designs have sparked new interest in nuclear power. WBUR's Bruce Gellerman reports on new small reactors that are taking shape, in some cases literally shipshape, in part two of our series on the future of nuclear energy.
For over 60 years, the future of nuclear power has been part of the history of the Massachusetts Institute of Technology.
With the completion of the MIT Research Reactor, a new and powerful instrument becomes available to further man's knowledge in the peacetime uses of atomic energy.
Built in the 1950s, MIT's Nuclear Reactor Laboratory is the second largest university reactor in the U.S., but it's small, operating at just 1% of the energy of the recently closed Pilgrim nuclear plant. The lab reactor doesn't produce power. It's a training and research tool.
Best job in the world.
Professor Jacopo Bongiorno is co-leader of the reactor lab and head of MIT's Center for Advanced Nuclear Energy Systems, where what's old is new and small is the cutting edge of nuclear's future.
We have fun with new nuclear reactor concepts.
Bongiorno investigates how advanced nuclear power plant designs and construction techniques can be used to power our warming planet as fossil fuels are phased out.
We always start with, what about the waste? What about the safety? What about proliferation? And those are important issues and we have to address. But first, let's see why you would want to mess with this technology to begin with.
It's because just 97 U.S. nuclear power plants produce 20% of the nation's electricity. More than half are low-carbon current. Most were built over 40 years ago, and many will shut down in the coming decade. Only one new reactor has been licensed in a quarter century.
And that has to change. And it's because we have a big problem, which is climate change, and nuclear can be a big, big part of the solution.
But big, complex nuclear plants of the past are part of the problem. They're enormously expensive to build and maintain. The cost of two large reactors currently under construction in Georgia has doubled to $28 billion, and they're years behind schedule. So now Jacopo Bongiorno and other nuclear engineers, scientists, and startups are thinking small, simple, faster, cheaper nuclear reactor designs.
It's one thing to embark in a project that can cost $1 billion, another one $10 billion. A $10 billion project, you're betting the farm on the project. $1 billion, even if it goes catastrophically wrong, you lose your money, it doesn't break the bank.
But can a climate-changing world bank on nuclear power? Harvard professor John Haldren, former President Barack Obama's science advisor, has raised that question, given concerns over cost, safety, proliferation, and radioactive waste.
My own view is that all of those problems are soluble in principle, but I'm agnostic on whether we will be wise enough to solve them in practice.
Earlier this year, nuclear power true believers and renewable energy advocates met at an MIT conference on the future of energy. Chris Colbert, chief strategy officer at NuScale Power, pitched the Oregon company's design for a small, modular nuclear reactor.
What we've done is we've gone to a smaller design. We have no reactor coolant pumps. And the consequences of that decision is we've been able to eliminate two-thirds of the systems and components you find in a large plant.
A self-contained NuScale reactor, 76 feet high, 15 feet in diameter, would take up 1% of the space of a conventional reactor. Buried deep in the earth and surrounded by millions of gallons of water, one could power a remote region. 12 modular reactors stacked up like beer cans in a six-pack could serve a city. Small, simple, safe, says company strategist Chris Colbert.
There's less stuff to buy to install, there's less stuff to operate and maintain, and there's less stuff to break and go wrong. So it becomes safer, more cost-effective, and easier to build.
To save on construction costs, NuScale plans to use a standardized design. Mass-produce modules in factories, transport them to sites, and install them in the ground. Colbert says they'll also be cheaper to operate. NuScale plans to begin commercial production in 5 years and has already lined up potential buyers in Jordan and Canada.
For our first customer, their alternative is a natural gas plant. Our bogey is to be the same. Otherwise, they will not go forward with our project.
NuScale is one of about a dozen companies trying to enter the small modular market. The firm's first test reactors will be built at the Department of Energy's Idaho National Laboratory. It's part of DOE Secretary Rick Perry's plan to jumpstart the nation's aging nuclear industry.
We're going to make nuclear cool again, is what I tell folks. And for 30 years, we basically let nuclear sit there in atrophy.
Cool comes at a cost. The DOE has invested $300 million in NuScale's small modular reactor design. But foreign competition in the market is heating up, and the U.S. is playing catch-up.
We really see this as a competition with Chinese and Russian state-owned enterprises who don't have the same commitment to safe operation that the United States does.
The Russian state-run atomic energy corporation Rosatom is preparing its floating nuclear power plant, which will be fully operational by the end of December.
Called the two small Russian reactors aboard a special barge were recently delivered to a remote Arctic village in eastern Siberia.
This floating power unit is very universal because it can be deployed everywhere around the globe where you have water, where we can transport this barge for operation.
Greenpeace calls the project Chernobyl on ice, warning of collisions with other vessels, terror attacks, or storms contaminating the environment. The Russian nuclear agency calls the concerns unfounded, scaremongering the floating reactor's, quote, clean, green, stable energy. China has also announced plans to launch a fleet of up to 20 floating nuclear power plants. Construction of the first is set to begin soon. And a small team at MIT has been studying the feasibility of a similar idea. Professor Jacopo Bongiorno says the plan calls for building small reactors in shipyards, then towing the nuclear platforms offshore where they're needed.
It becomes a plug-and-play energy source. So you build it, you float it out to the site, and then you provide your electricity. But if there is a more profitable market that you want to access, you simply move your power plant to that.
The U.S. military did something like this 50 years ago. During a decade-long drought, it anchored a reactor aboard a barge on a lake in Panama to power canal locks. Now, in a rapidly climate-changing world, proponents of nuclear power on sea and land say it's back to the future. But former Nuclear Regulatory Commission Chairman Gregory Yasko is dubious, predicting more reactors will mean more accidents.
Every day almost you see a new story talking about how we're not going to solve the problem of climate change without nuclear reactors. And when I see those things, I scratch my head and think, well, are they talking about the same industry that I'm familiar with? Because I don't see how nuclear power plants are going to solve that problem.
I think we need all the options on the table, and that includes nuclear.
Ashley Finan, executive director of the Nuclear Innovation Alliance, is an expert in funding new advanced reactor designs.
And that's the most important factor in being able to make something scalable to address climate change. If it's not competitive, it won't scale and it won't address climate.
But the scale will have to be enormous. Right now, there are 448 commercial nuclear reactors operating worldwide. Meeting emission targets and the increased demand for electricity could require building hundreds, if not thousands, of new nuclear reactors over the next three decades. Climate change is here. Time is not on our side. The choices don't get easier. For 90.9 WBUR, I'm Bruce Gellerman.
Bruce's story is part of Covering Climate Now, a week-long global initiative of more than 250 news outlets.